If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Down in the Tennessee hills.
Well, remember, the European Union is $20 trillion economy, 450 million people. I mean, it is head and shoulders bigger than all the other Western civilizations. So the fact is the European Union is the monster deal. President Trump did that deal yesterday. We were all together in Scotland. We got the deal done. So here how it goes. The European Union is going to pay 15%, and they sell us $600 billion worth of goods. That's $90 billion for America. And they agreed for the first time ever to cut all their tariffs, cut their barriers, and let American businesses and farmers and ranchers and fishermen finally sell into the European Union. Massive market. This is huge for America.
So there you have Howard Lutnick talking about this major deal with the United Kingdom. I was watching some of these news stories as they came across and seeing a little bit of feedback. I've heard some people in the United Kingdom think that they didn't get enough out of this deal. But also, according to Fox News, they have made this trade deal and they consider it to be a heavy lift, but one that is maybe the biggest deal of its kind. And I'm not an expert on these things, but I do know experts on these things, which is why we bring Carol Roth onto the show with us. Of course, a two-time New York Times bestselling author, You Will Own Nothing. I encourage you to check out her book. She refers to herself as a recovering investment banker and a small business advocate. Carol, welcome back to the show. Such a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Yes, so nice to be back with you.
So you are an expert when it comes to money things. I am not. Many of our listeners. Basically, here's what I do, Carol. I hear a news, a deal came out like this in the news. I check the stock market. And from what I've understood, you can't just look at the stock market to determine how well the economy is going. When you heard this news, what was your reaction?
So I think that like many others that are investing in the stock market, there wasn't a lot of concern over an escalation. So I think there was an expectation a deal would get done. And then on the other side of it, there wasn't a lot of exuberance because it was kind of what was expected. And I have a little bit of a different take. I am not a cheerleader. I'm an umpire, right? And I call balls and strikes. And so I feel like when we escalate something and then de-escalate it, it's a little bit difficult to go, oh my God, wow, what a great outcome, because we were the ones that escalated it to begin with. That being said, you know, there are some good things that have come out of what I would consider a framework with the EU. And the EU, the European Union, is a massive trading partner for the United States. So there are areas where there are going to be no tariffs paid on certain goods and services. And a lot of this still needs to be worked out. The part that's upsetting to me, and in the clip that you played, is this idea that 15% for any of our imports is a big win. Because previously, we paid, I think it was around 1.5 to 2% on imports. And a lot of people say, oh, well, that's the EU paying it. Well, it's not. It's either a U.S. business who's importing who's paying that, or it's a U.S. consumer who's paying that in terms of the price price of higher cost of goods and services. So it ends up being something that feels much more like a tax. And the Trump administration just did such a great job in terms of codifying the tax cuts that I felt like now adding a new tax for consumers and businesses, particularly small businesses, is not the victory that they portray it. But God bless them. They're great at marketing. They're great at making everything sound exciting. But the devil really is in the details.
We're listening to Carol Roth here talk to us about this deal that was done within the last few days that we were able to accomplish this. The president, of course, if you ask him, he's going to say it's brilliant, it's the best deal ever made, so on and so forth. But I think that this is an important thing to discuss with experts who see these things differently. How do you measure when the tariff strategy becomes a success or a failure? Is there a timeline in your mind where it's like, okay, we need to see it through X amount of months, years, whatever it might be, days, before you feel like you can make a determination?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, it's a framework right now, so it still needs to go through the final papering and details, and then the EU states and folks that are involved over there need to vote on it. So that needs to happen first, and then we need to put it in place. And then once it's implemented, we do need to give it time, probably a good 9 months or a year to see how that's playing out, because in terms of that tariff impact, it's not going to show up right away. Everybody's going to do whatever they can to try to, you know, keep the cost from the consumers, or, you know, dip into inventories before they go, and order more goods and services and whatnot. So I think that you need to have it a good amount of time for it to work its way through. And we might not see it in the traditional inflation numbers, because we know the way that they calculate inflation is flawed, that they've changed the formulas. They use a lot of substitutions. But I do think that individual businesses will feel it. I think that consumers will feel it. And so we may see that show up more on the GDP side in terms of slower growth or a drag on growth than we may in a traditional measure of inflation.
Carol Roth is our guest right now. I'm looking at the bullet points here that were with Howard Lutnick and that Fox News report, and it talks about the EU is to buy $750 billion in U.S. energy, invest $600 billion more in United States, along with major military equipment purchases. So it sounds like, and this is what the president has continued to say, that this deal with the EU is involving investment back in the homeland, and that re-energizing industry in the United States is a very important part of this entire strategy. I don't recall the commentator who said they question whether or not they have $750 billion to actually invest in. Can you just say, yeah, we'll do it when we have it? Is that a realistic number expectation?
So every time we've heard an exciting investment deal, and this isn't just the Trump administration, this is every administration, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of follow-up to actually quantify it. And so I do feel like these deals get exaggerated. There is a certain amount of energy that is purchased. I think it's, you know, maybe like maybe 20% of what they're talking about now currently. And so the idea that that's going to increase exponentially, I don't know that they have the need for it, or as you said, the capital to be able to do that. So it's great that they want to buy more energy from us, but they were, you know, planning to do that at any rate. The same thing with some of these investments. It's sort of unclear what's actually something that's in process versus something that's incremental, how that gets accounted for. And so, you know, it's good. It's exciting. We want to try to push for that. But the reality is that really going to be what we see, and what's the return on that investment, if it even comes close to that number? I cannot think of a deal that has been announced at any point in modern history where we've gone, wow, you know, that political deal was made really turned into this great economic deal. And so I would like to be surprised. We can be, you know, cautiously optimistic with cautiously doing some of the heavy lifting there.
Sure. Legitimate trust but verify situation, yes. Which I think is a healthy way to, you know, we should always be holding all politicians, all people who are making these decisions, their feet to the fire. Just because they're saying the sweet nothings that we want to hear doesn't mean that that's where our interest should end, of course. Carol Roth with us right now. The Big Beautiful Bill obviously passed. It's made permanent the Trump tax cuts. There are other things in there that are, you know, considerations for the American taxpayer, especially the American worker, for families. What do you have any highlights from the Big Beautiful Bill that you really particularly like, or anything that you're like, gosh, this isn't what I would have done?
So I think that the tax piece was incredibly important, because if they hadn't codified that, we would have had a massive tax hike, and that would have been a catalyst for a big slowing of our GDP, our growth. And given our fiscal foundation, our debt situation, and the trouble that we are in on that front, we cannot afford to not have continued growth or any sort of setback that would actually expand the deficit. So I think that was really important. And as somebody who is an advocate for small business, I'm very happy to see that a lot of the small business tax legislation was also codified as well. So I think that gives some certainty to consumers, to businesses, to be able to make more investments. Although, as we've been talking about, I think that the tariff uncertainty undoes some of that, and which is, you know, wish some of that would get out of the way. I'm somebody who would like to see a small, beautiful bill instead of a big, beautiful bill. Maybe a bill that's on Ozempic or a fat shot, as President Trump likes to call it, and get into these individual issues. And I don't believe that enough was done in terms of a plan to reduce spending, which is really driving the deficit. I will let it all play out. I will give the administration space to do rescission bills, as they talked about, and put together a strategy. But at some point, Congress needs to get serious. We have deficits to GDP that are at the same levels that they would be at wartime or a deep recession, when we are not at war and we are not in a deep recession. And we have interest expense that outpaces our spending on defense. That is not a good situation for a country. So if we don't get serious about shrinking the deficits, we are going to end up in that debt spiral where it becomes more expensive to finance our debt. We have more interest that blows apart our deficit. We have to take on more debt, wash, rinse, and repeat. And we cannot afford, very literally, for that to happen. So we do need to see Congress get serious. I do not think the Big Beautiful Bill showed that they were serious on that front. But again, we'll be hopeful that sometime, you know, within the next 12 months, we will get a plan to attack that.
There's a lot more work to do, that's for sure, certain. We're listening to Carol Roth. You can follow her on X at Carol J. S. Roth. I encourage you to follow her there for her expertise. And, you know, I'm thinking in conclusion, when I hear what you're saying about a lot of the tariff stuff, these deals that are being made, it sounds to me like, with your knowledge with the economy, that you aren't willing to just have a blind faith in the direction that the president is wanting to take this economy. You're kind of like it could work, but it could also not. It could also be very bad. The outcome could be. I'm wondering what you think about the mentality, what your assessment is of the Trump mentality about the economy. It sure was a huge message in his campaign to get reelected. He talked a lot. This is political speak, of course. So what he does in measure, I'm assuming, is to make good on these deals. But he talked about the American worker. He talked about the value of made in America. He talked about taking pride in work. And he put himself among workers, both in kind of private when he would be campaigning or meeting with people, but also very much publicly on a garbage truck hanging out a McDonald's drive-through window. It's a different mentality coming from the Oval Office right now. I want to know your thoughts on that assessment of where his headspace is when it comes to this economy.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's huge. And there has been a huge disconnect between the elite and the working class. And I think that is why President Trump won, because he was able to tap in and say, we are going to consider you. We're going to put Main Street and the working class and the middle class of America first. And I think that's really important. On top of that, Annie, he was handed a very difficult situation. The Biden administration is what handed over to him this very difficult fiscal foundation. And so my criticisms come from the fact that he was in this difficult situation, and we have this delicate choreography that needs to be enacted in order to do the things to make the American dream available to everyone and to make sure that he is delivering on that promise to the middle and working class. And it is not an easy thing to do. I just worry that some of the choreography that he's doing has been out of order, and that, you know, if he doesn't focus on removing more of these barriers, that he is not going to be able to, you know, thread what was a very narrow needle to begin with. And the challenge is, if he doesn't do that quickly, or he makes a misstep now, then come the midterms, he's not going to have the opportunity to finish up the job. And so it's not that his focus is wrong. I think that he's got a pulse on the right things, and there are a lot of people in the administration who understand these things. It's just a difference of opinion in terms of choreography and what should be prioritized in order to make it happen. And I'm sure your listeners are going, well, what do you know, Carol? Have you ever done a deal before? Yes, I've done billions of dollars of transactions. I have 30 years worth of deal making experience. And, you know, President Trump is a real estate guy, and real estate is different from the broader economy, the needs of what happens at, you know, from Fortune 500 to solopreneur businesses. And so, again, his advisory team, they have little silos of information, but, you know, doing that choreography in the wrong order can make the whole dance go off track.
Carol Roth with us right now. And, you know, I'm just listening to what you're saying, and like what the president, he had his first term, and then there was this Biden era, and then he comes back in and is doing all of these things. And a picture truly is worth a thousand words. And yeah, leave it to the Democrats on X to put that graph, which I know that you've seen, that's like, oh, look, Donald Trump sucks. But it's really the only graph you need to show exactly what Joe Biden did to this economy. Donald Trump certainly has his work cut out for him.
Absolutely. I actually shared that picture and said, I don't think the Democrats, or this isn't the flex that the Democrats think it is, because it was a graph that showed all of the inflation that happened under Biden and this, you know, terrible situation that they left the Trump administration with, which just goes to their disconnect with reality and with, you know, economic matters. And so this really is a big opportunity to turn around something that's a very serious issue. I don't want to underplay this. You know, we have a very serious situation in terms of our debt, in terms of individuals feeling like they're going to have the ability to seize the American dream. And, you know, we needed to elect President Trump in order to move down that path. So hopefully, you know, some of this noise, some of these distractions will get cleared up, and we will go back and focus on deregulation, removing barriers, allowing that growth to happen, and, you know, focusing on getting serious about the government not overspending, because, you know, Annie, they take in $5 trillion a year. That's more than the GDP of every country on earth, except for the U.S. and China. And still they overspend by $2 trillion. So this is not a revenue tax issue. This is a spending problem. And hopefully we will get some alignment on that. Otherwise, even if the Trump administration comes up with an ability to plug the hole, we're going to be having this discussion again in a few years.
Well, we are going to continue to have the discussion with you, Carol. I love your insight, and I appreciate you coming on with us today. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Pleasure as well.
Take care. Thank you so much. Carol Roth, as you heard it.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
She's an expert on the economy, and she is very active on X. Carol J.S. Roth on X. Go follow her there. The Democrats in that stupid post that they put up. I mean, gosh, guys, come on. Maybe they can't read graphs. That's maybe one of the possibilities. But the Democrats, if you haven't seen this post that they put on X, they've since deleted it, I might add. It shows, like, I don't know when the years actually start, but right at 2020, 2021 specifically, it shows inflation, I think. It's going out of control all through the Biden years. And then they showed it because at this point in time, or whatever point in time it was that they were highlighting that President Trump, in his 6 months that he's been president, show that, like, grocery prices or something is higher than they've ever been. It shows that it was all Joe Biden. They remind me, and I can't get this thought out of my head, but the Democrat Party right now reminds me of the Sicilian in The Princess Bride who thinks they're the smartest people in the room. They keep using words that they do not understand, and at the end they poison themselves and die because they didn't play the right game with Carrie Ellis, who is also, I think, a raging lefty. Isn't he? Isn't he, like, super lefty?
I've never seen his politics, but, I mean, it's believable that he would be.
I'm going to Google it in case I besmirched his name. The Dread Pirate Roberts. Maybe I'll put it on him. All right, quick break. Ryan Wiggins coming back in studio. We're going to get to some more of those driving mistakes you're making, ways you're screwing up on the road. Are you making these dumb driving moves? Ryan had to bring up that lady who screamed at me downtown St. Louis because I threw pistachio shell outside my window. I was trying to eat healthy. And I thought, since it was biodegradable, that you could toss it out the window. She aggressively told me that I was littering and very, very, very much so a bad person. So I haven't done it since then. But you guys seem to think that's okay. Ryan, get back in here. We'll be right back.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.